Grace and peace from God our Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, brothers and sisters in Christ, and a very warm good morning to all of you friends. It is good to be together worshiping the Lord with you. As John, our brother, mentioned, this little book, How to Walk into Church, is available in the back for you. Take one per household. We should have enough. If not, we can get some more, too. But this is a very helpful resource. And what it's meant to do and intended to do is to bless you and just encourage you and help you make the most out of our time gathered and also our time as the Church of Jesus Christ when we scatter and go throughout our week. So pick this up. Not a difficult read. Discuss it in your home and be blessed by this. Hear the word of the Lord now from Proverbs 2, as I read from the English Standard Version of the Bible. Proverbs 2, starting in verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight, and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. And now, Father, we ask your word to go forth in our hearts and our lives. Please keep us attentive by your Holy Spirit. Grant that we might receive your wisdom from heaven that you have for us this morning. Set us apart more fully as disciples who fear you. And please make us more devoted, more holy, more loving, and altogether Christ-like through your word. In Jesus' saving name we ask. Amen. Well, as I drove into the office earlier this week, and that day we got all that snow, so I believe it was Wednesday, the day after we got all that snow, I saw a curious sight. I was right over here off of, right over here off of Howard, and I came to a red light. And across me, from me going the other direction in a black Jeep, was this black Jeep covered in a lot of snow. And I looked at it, and I wondered, I couldn't tell, was this just a bad park job far away from the curb, or was someone actually inside of the vehicle? See, there were probably 5-6 inches of snow on the top, covered in ice on the windshield and all the windows, but I saw a little 5-inch by 5-inch gap in the driver's seat. And so it got me wondering, and for a few seconds there, I wondered, is there a person in here? Or is it just a bad park job? Well, the light turned green, so I started going forward. And as I continued to look, couldn't see anything. Again, covered in ice, covered in snow. And so I figured after the light turned green, bad park job. Only to be startled that as I came almost next to the person, their wheels squealed and they started going forward. Alas, there was someone inside of the vehicle, but they could not see the green light because of the tiny gap. The tiny gap prevented them from seeing the light above. And you know, friends, in a similar manner, I wonder if a lot of us live our lives like this individual who had a 5-inch by 5-inch gap. I know it was a cold one outside, but they didn't want to do more than just the smallest gap to see out the window. They didn't go the extra effort. They didn't actually say to the scraper, take the scraper and wipe it across there so they could see more clearly. And I have to wonder, friends, with just a little bit more diligence, how much all of us would see more clearly if we would more diligently seek wisdom. Well, today we're going to see from God's Word four reasons for diligently seeking wisdom. We'll spend the most time on this first point. My prayer, though, is that each and every one of us today would seek wisdom in 2021 more diligently than ever before in our lives. So, four reasons to diligently seek wisdom from Proverbs 2. First, the Lord guides us to diligently seek wisdom. The Lord guides us to diligently seek wisdom. Look with me in your Bibles there in the first four verses of Proverbs 2. My son. Again, we have this wonderful, loving phrase. My son. 13 times it's used in these first few sections and over 50 times in the book of Proverbs. Solomon, this father to his son, his children, but also spiritual sons in the faith. He says, receive, accept, lay hold of my words. Treasure them up. Store them in your heart. Prize them more highly than you would any other person's words. Wisdom is God-given. We'll go deeper into that point next. But for now, just realize this. Wisdom, skill for living wisely under the lordship of God. Wisdom belongs to the Lord. It is found in His Word. But it's also dispensed and passed through God's people. So in this context, what the author has in mind is believing God, yes, but also believing who God has placed in our lives, who fear the Lord and know the Scripture. The Lord gives wisdom to whom He will. But He guides us towards this wisdom. And make no mistake, friends, the Lord does not mislead anyone. He directs all of us as His beloved children to receive His words, to treasure His commands. Practically speaking, as Christians, it's vital for us to realize, especially us who are Christian parents, but also grandparents, if you have grandchildren. We need to know the law of God. We need to know the Ten Commandments. To know and impress upon our children these things that the Lord repeatedly affirmed. So think with me in Matthew 22, the Lord was asked, what's the most important commandment? And the Lord said in Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind, with all your whole heart and your strength. And then the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's a merging of two Old Testament texts, Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus 19. It's vital for children and grandchildren, but all of us as well, to know that the soul that sins will die. To allow the good and wonderful law of God to shine brightly on our personal shortcomings, our sins and our rebellion. And to receive this instruction, to accept these words, and to treasure them up in our hearts. And so parents and grandparents, be diligent in this. It's an uphill battle. The godless culture around us, and even many self-professing Christians, may consider you extreme and legalistic, but it's just not true. You're being biblical. You're being faithful. I spoke with a friend recently, and this friend is in a very difficult spot. One who they love dearly. One who she's really wondering about, am I making a difference in this person's life? Incredibly enough, a few days later, this same friend had mentioned, I just don't know. I just don't know if it's any difference in this friend's life. This is a common thing that we as believers face. We wonder, are my labors, are my efforts in vain? But friends, the Lord tells us in His Word, 1 Corinthians 15:58, those who labor in the Lord, you never labor in vain. Every effort that you spend, all your energy, the Lord sees it and it matters. And He will bless it far more than you might realize. Remember, friends, the Lord is a good God. He guides us. We are His beloved, blood-bought children. He won't guide us down a path that is fruitless, that is aimless, and purposeless. Our God's an intentional God, a careful God who has planned and placed order and structure in the world around us. And so it doesn't really matter if you cannot see the results. I've had to tell Christian after Christian this, even if you cannot see the results, do not give up this important labor of impressing the truth of God's Word upon yourself and upon your children. Don't be deterred from listening and obeying, from diligently seeking wisdom. And know this, friends, it starts with getting Scripture inside of you, within you. The Lord guides us to diligently seek wisdom. So diligently seek wisdom. Don't stop it until it's yours, until you've acquired it. And make no mistake, friends, it will require effort. Pastor Dan Phillips says that wisdom requires effort, and wisdom repays effort. 8 times in these first 4 verses of chapter 2, God implores you and me. He directs us to seek wisdom. It's the Lord's will, it's His desire, friends, that we would zealously pursue wisdom, diligently seek it, and listen and obey and apply it. Look what it says in verse 4 here of Proverbs 2. If you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures. I wonder, friends, what do you think of when you think of seeking silver or searching for hidden treasures? When I was growing up, I can remember being in the sandbox with my friends and sifting through the sand, looking for buried coins or maybe something that my mother or friend had put in there. Perhaps you think of the gold rushes. We had one in the United States in North Carolina that actually came before the big gold rush out to California in the 19th century. Thousands upon thousands of men left what they knew, their comfort, their ease, to go and search for these gold nuggets. And these men gave themselves to this exhausting work in the heat of day coming down upon them, spending themselves and searching with diligence. Maybe you think of the beach whenever you see someone, that kid with the metal detector, right? And they go on and on and on. I've been at the beach and I've seen them. They just go on and on and on. One time wake up from a nap, they're still going. This kind of a thing. Last year in June, NBC actually ran a news story about a treasure chest from the 13th century worth millions of dollars in the Rocky Mountains. And after a decade, after 10 years of search, that actually claimed 3 lives, it was found. Apparently, a New Mexico art dealer had hid this chest and left about 9 clues with the intention of getting people outside to explore nature. The New Mexico police even told people, stop pursuing this treasure after the second death. But people kept on searching it out. Frankly, when I think about searching for things in our own home right now, what we most diligently search for are our son's pacifiers to put in their mouth. We're pulling off cushions. We're going behind couches, searching every nook and cranny of our house. One time even went up to the trash just to find that pacifier. A few moments of silence. But the point of all these stories, friends, all these examples, is that people are diligently searching for something that is of far less value than the wisdom of God. Beloved brother, sister in Christ, the Lord guides us in these verses to be utterly devoted to seeking out, to searching for wisdom. How could we not devote ourselves far more diligently to seeking that which is eternally valuable, wisdom from our God? If anyone could see our lives, would they see a man or a woman totally sold out to seeking wisdom? Listening to wisdom, understanding, insight, calling out for it in prayer, seeking and searching for it as if it is buried treasure. Well, Matthew 13:44, the Lord Jesus told his disciples and all of us what is of supreme value, the most and the highest wisdom you can seek. Here it is in Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. When you know where something truly of eternal value is, you devote your entire life to it, friends. In James 1:5, we are told, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. When was the last time, friends, you asked God for wisdom? You called out to him in prayer, even cried out to him, Lord, give me wisdom. Do you think you're above that? That's for simple people? Nonsense, dear friend. It is the mark of maturity. It is the mark of a wise man, a wise woman, to study God's commands, to master the Scriptures so that the Scriptures then master you, to examine your heart with the Word of God. And here's the amazing reality that you will find it. You won't find exhaustive or total wisdom, make no mistake, but you will find true wisdom. You will find it when you diligently seek for it. The Lord guarantees that. We seek this wisdom in the Scriptures. We listen attentively. We prioritize it. And when others are dispensing this wisdom from God, we receive it. We pore over it because there is nothing in the world like it. Other Scriptures speak to the wisdom that we incline our ear towards. The late J. Adams, though, helpfully put it this way when it comes to this diligence in the Christian life. There's a quote on that back sheet. You have the entirety of that quote in context, but I just want to read a portion of that quote. Here's what it says. When it comes to this diligence, quote, all progress in the Christian life is based on data. One may not acquiesce in a life of drifting about in some spiritual dreamland that consists of mouthing pious-sounding platitudes and smiling a lot. But that does not require one to do the hard work of coming to understand and learning to apply the Scriptures. His point is this, friends. If you think that you will find wisdom by not seriously investigating and studying the Scriptures and learning how to apply the Scriptures, you won't. It won't happen. The Lord, our great God and Father, is pleading with us here and guiding us repeatedly in the Scriptures to diligently seek wisdom. And so diligently seek wisdom. The second reason the Lord gives us here to diligently seek wisdom is this. The Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. So diligently seek wisdom. Look with me in Proverbs 2:6-7. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Friends, the Lord is the source of all true and lasting wisdom. That really cannot be overstated. People today peddle and offer us wisdom in the 21st century all around us. Ads bombard us again and again, repeatedly. Here's where real life is. Here's where real wisdom is. We'll give you what you need. They claim to have something that we desperately need or should want. Having talked to enough Christians about this, I know some of you may be thinking, well, Brandon, I know that Christ is the supreme source of wisdom, but what about all those other kinds of wisdom in the world? Sometimes you might be thinking, you know, it seems to work out for other people who actually reject Christ, but not for me, who's received Christ. You think of your successful neighbor or friend, and even an engagement with them where they might say something like this, you know, I'm so glad that you found Christ, that he's your source of wisdom, and that works for you. But my source of wisdom is my network, my board, my college friends, the Harvard Business Review, some business section of the newspaper. That's where I find wisdom. What would you say to someone who said this to you? What would your answer be? Well, first, that person might have information or insight, but God has far more. That insight might temporarily bless that person or help them, but it will ultimately do nothing unless it's realized that the Lord is the source, that He's the one who grants and gives that wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom, friends, because He's the author of all wisdom. Colossians 1:15 through 17 says that all things were made in Him and by Him and through Him and for Him. That's what the text of Scripture tells us, including wisdom. Consider these texts as well that tell us of God's understanding. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Romans 11, 33, Paul cries out with this prayer, this praise of acclamation, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable are His ways. What we must realize, friends, is just how much wisdom God already has given us. He's poured out wisdom upon us. And we have to remember His generous character. We have to remember that there's a bottomless supply of wisdom, of power, of glory that God is ready to pour out upon us. You know, it can be tempted for us to think wrongly about the Lord in our world. To think either on the one hand He's good, but He's powerless. Or to think He's powerful, but He's not good. We have wrong ideas about God. But consider for a moment, as a corrective, the following verses that display God's character. His generous character, His good character, and His powerful character. Just a few texts, mainly from Ephesians. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Ephesians 2:7. So that God might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3:8. In Christ we have unfathomable riches. And the last, not from Ephesians, but from 1 John 3. Here again, the generous and the good character of God. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God, and such we are. 1 John 3:1. Friends, do you honestly think that the Lord would ever shortchange you or cheat you out of a blessing that He wants to give you? Nonsense. When you diligently seek the Lord, when you seek the wisdom that is above, that the Lord is going to grant to you because you are His child and He loves you, the payoff is far more than you can imagine. The Lord guides us to diligently seek wisdom, so diligently seek wisdom. The Lord also gives wisdom. He's the source, and so seek wisdom and do it diligently. The third reason we should diligently seek wisdom is this. The Lord guards wisdom seekers, so diligently seek wisdom. The Lord guards wisdom seekers, so diligently seek wisdom. Look at Proverbs 2, 7, and 8 in your Bibles. Here's what the Lord tells us. The Lord says, He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. First, note this language of a shield. In ancient Israel's history, it's fascinating to see all the times the Lord is referenced as a shield. We don't have time to go through all of that now, but here's a small sampling of the number of times the Lord calls Himself His people's shield. Genesis 15:1, when He makes that first covenant, that initial covenant with Abram, Fear not, Abram, the Lord says. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Genesis 15:1. Deuteronomy 33:29, hundreds of years later. Blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? Who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty? The Lord, he's the shield. And King Solomon would no doubt have heard his father worshiping the Lord with all God's people and singing the song that his father David wrote in the Psalms. In Psalm 18:1, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock where I seek refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. See, friends, the Lord, he is the protector, the ultimate protector. But please notice this. The Lord has in mind not just anyone, not just all of his people, but particularly those who are wisdom seekers. The Lord stores up sound wisdom, it says, for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity. So it's not enough just to say, I can affirm that with my mouth. It has to be seen in your life. You are living wisely. The Lord guards the ways, the paths of his people who are seeking wisdom. Habitually doing that. We have to habitually, regularly do that. Let me just pause here again and remind you, friends, that these are people already in covenant relationship with the Lord. They have repented of their sins. They know that they need a Savior and a Redeemer. They have humbled themselves before the Lord, and they fear this Lord. The Lord guards his wisdom seekers, but he does that through the guidance that he gives. That's how he guards us, through the guidance that he gives us. Look with me in your Bibles at Proverbs 2:11. Proverbs tell us the Lord guards us with his guidance when it says this, that discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. At this point, you may be wondering, from what? What am I personally guarded from, Brandon? Well, in the context of Proverbs 2, there are two main general groups of sinners that you are protected from. It could be expanded out, but there's two examples that are given. And this is actually tied to the fourth and final reason we should diligently seek wisdom. So we'll get into that in just a moment. Here's the fourth reason. So we have first, the Lord guides us to diligently seek wisdom. So diligently seek wisdom. Second, the Lord is the one who gives wisdom. He's the source. And so diligently seek wisdom from him. And third, the Lord guards wisdom seekers. So diligently seek wisdom. The fourth and final reason we should diligently seek wisdom this morning is this. The Lord delivers through wisdom. The Lord delivers through wisdom. So diligently seek wisdom. Look in your Bibles at Proverbs 2, 12, and 13. The Word of God says that the Lord delivers us from the evil way, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness. Of course, throughout Israel's history, the Lord did deliver his people from many different difficult places. From slavery in Egypt, to battles with enemies at war, from their own sin, their own sorrow, from dark, deep depression and doubt, from disease and famine. The Lord delivered, he rescued them from all those situations and more. Bruce Waltke, the Old Testament scholar, wrote in his classic commentary on Proverbs these words, "The assumption is that the son will find himself in dangerous situations and need deliverance." So these two groups of people who you're guarded from but also who you're delivered from are first the way of the wicked. It's a general way of the wicked. Those who speak with perversity, the text says in Proverbs 2:11 and 16, they leave the upright paths to walk in a dark path. They delight in doing evil. Like we saw last week, there's people who love to delight in evil. These are wicked people who rejoice in perverse ways. And their paths are morally crooked. All their ways are devious. So that's one group that you're guarded from. But the second group you're guarded from is the way of the adulteress. Remember, a father to a son. And in Proverbs 2, 16 through 19, we see a description, really a depiction, that is meant to pull us in. It's meant to be graphic. We see this as well in Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. I encourage you to read that later on your own, especially you young men. This adulteress is a sexually loose woman. She's outside of the covenant of God. She has no place for Yahweh. And friends, every society on earth, every human civilization has had these women in them. Again, we recognize that men are evil, men are wicked too, and do many awful things, but here in the context, we're talking about a father to a son, and in particular, the guarding from the delivering from the way of the adulteress. These are women who speak smoothly and seductively. I once heard a rhyme from J.I. Packer who said these words, "The sweet, bright fire of sinful sexual desire is a dreadful liar." The sweet, bright fire of sinful sexual desire is a dreadful liar. The Lord delivers through wisdom, friends, so we diligently seek wisdom. The Lord delivers us from evil to a place of hope and a land of plenty. We see what awaits for those who pursue wisdom. Look in your Bibles at Proverbs 2, 20 and 22. Here's what's to come for those who continue to diligently seek wisdom. "So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it." The Lord delivers us, friends, through His wisdom, so that we can inherit eternal life. The Lord guides us to wisdom. He never lies. He gives wisdom, and He gives it abundantly. He's the source. He guards us with wisdom, so that those of us who seek it should know, as we cherish it, as we treasure it, as we prioritize it regularly in our lives, not just a one-off thing, God is going to guard us. But He's also going to deliver us as His people through His wisdom. In all this, friends, again, what I want you to hear loud and clear is this. As we've said it the last few weeks, the Bible makes it clear that there is no genuine fear of God without saving faith in Christ. There's no genuine fear of God without saving faith in Christ. Colossians 2 tells us this very clearly, that the Lord has delivered us from the domain of darkness. He's transferred us from the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. That's the place to start, fearing the Lord. It's at the cross of Christ. A sincere dread of a holy God, that our sins have offended this righteous and holy God. A recognition of our helplessness, our hopelessness, of the essential necessity that Christ alone is our Redeemer and our Savior. And so we rejoice together. We rejoice together to diligently seek wisdom. And when it comes to diligently seeking wisdom, friends, we diligently seek Christ. We treasure Him. We treasure His Word supremely. There is no other source, no other place outside of Jesus Christ wherein the fear of God will enter our hearts. The study of the Scriptures will fill our minds and guide us in these paths and protect us. In 1 Corinthians 1, the Apostle Paul tells us about the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ. It's what we herald and proclaim to a world in need. We preach Christ crucified. It's a stumbling block to Jews, folly to Gentiles. That's supposed to encompass the whole world, by the way. In other words, everyone looks at the cross of Christ and mocks it and is stumbling by it. But to those who are called, Christ is the power of God and Christ is the wisdom of God. The Lord's call in our lives, friends, could not be more clear. Here's the call to you and to me and all who profess faith in Christ. Diligently seek wisdom. Diligently seek to treasure Jesus Christ and treasure His Word supremely. Another quote from Dan Phillips in his phenomenal book on Proverbs. He says this, quote, it's on your sheet in the back as well. "God wants us to see ourselves as students who advance but who never graduate." A little known fact, student in the New Testament usually is translated disciple. Most think disciple means follower or even apostle, but in fact, the underlying Greek word, mathetes, disciple, means pupil or student. The Christian is always in school. He is to learn throughout his entire life. Church is to function as his center of instruction, and wisdom requires effort, and wisdom repays effort. Friends, we live in a world that rejects wisdom. Romans 1:32 tells us that there are many who know God's just sentence, that those who practice sins deserve to die. But they not only do them, they even applaud and they give hearty approval of those who practice them. The world goes the opposite way of the wisdom of God. So we have to recognize the reality, the situation we're in, that those around us, even some of those we love, overwhelmingly reject the fear of the Lord. They don't seek wisdom. They don't seek the wisdom that God has given in Jesus. And friends, they are bound for death. Our call as Christians is to put in practice what our Lord desires for us. Our call as Christians could not be more clear. It is to diligently seek the wisdom that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. It is to be devoted and sold out to this for the rest of our lives, friends. To habitually give ourselves to this, knowing that it will all be worth it. Dear friends, don't be content for a little 5-inch by 5-inch hole in that windshield of your life. Wipe it off. See clearly. Seek diligently. And know that God is generous and He will give you the clarity, the wisdom to see life more clearly and to walk in the paths that He desires for you and me to walk in. Let's pray. Father, Your word tells us in Colossians 3, if then we've been raised with Christ to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So we plead with You, Lord, that we would set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For we know that we have died, that our lives are hidden with You in Jesus Christ. And God, we thank You for the promise that when Christ, who is our life, appears, and Lord, You also will appear, we also will appear with You in glory. God, help us to recognize the reality around us that there are many traps, many snares, and that we will fall into them apart from Your protective grace. So guard us. Continue to guide us, Lord. Thank You for the Proverbs that show us the way. Thank You that You are a God who doesn't lie. And thank You, Lord, that we will seek wisdom when we find it. And You have revealed that supremely in Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.